Yeah, 100%. It cannot be a poster on the wall. And that's what happens, right? It has to be something that you live, breathe, and talk. When we do culture work, we also make sure that how do you infuse that language through every aspect of the organization? And how do you infuse that language through every step of the life cycle of the customer and the employee? You have to make sure that that language is properly infused.
You are listening to the Culture Coach Podcast. This is the place where CEOs and people-first leaders come to boost productivity, extinguish burnout, and cultivate a vibrant culture that reflects a fully integrated mission, vision, and core values. Get ready to take your culture to the next level. I am your host, Wendy Brand.
Welcome back. I hope you are having a great week. I am really excited about my guest this week. I actually had the pleasure of working with him. I was a client of his, and the work that he does, he and his team, really inspirational. So if you want to build a workplace where everyone feels truly valued, regardless of their generation, culture, or personality type, then I think you're going to really enjoy this episode. Today, I sit down with Chuck Salvo, former Disney Institute veteran and self-proclaimed chief happiness architect, to discuss his new book, Rave: How to Respect and Value Everyone. Drawing from his 15 years at Disney and extensive experience working with organizations worldwide, you'll hear Chuck share practical insights on building authentic workplace connections and creating a culture where every voice matters. From breaking down communication barriers to understanding different personality types, this conversation is packed with actionable strategies for you to take back to your business. I hope you enjoy. All right. Welcome to the Culture Coach Podcast. I have Chuck Salvo with me. Chuck, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Wendy. It's great to be here.
Great to see you again. I'm so excited to talk to you about culture, about your new book. We've been catching up on old times, some culture work that we did together. But let's dive into, I want to start with, you know, you are a culture expert and chief happiness architect. Tell me a little bit about the work that you do today.
Well, you know, Wendy, I had 15 years with Disney and the Disney Institute, and which gave me an incredible education as I learned and traveled the world helping companies find their culture. When I started my own company, I purposely chose that title you mentioned, Chief Happiness Architect, because culture is different. You know, culture is sometimes not readable. Sometimes you can't measure it on a KPI. But it's something that you really need to focus on. And it's one of those things that I always say, it's a simple but not easy. So I chose happiness because everybody wants happiness either in their personal life or in their professional life. However, I also chose architect because you really need to build a structure. You need to actually have a very clear, easy to understand structure for a culture to thrive and to for you to be the best culture it could possibly be. And lastly, it needs to be yours. It can't be Disney's. It can't be all these books that you see. I mean, they're great. Wonderful knowledge. Hopefully you read mine. But it's really about building a program for you, about your organization.
That's so true. And I was working with a client yesterday and talking to the team about culture. And we talked about just that. Like, it's so important. The CEO or the owner gets to set the tone on the culture that they want in that organization. And then the employees, you know, I worked in an organization where I didn't align with the culture, but many people within that organization thought it was a great culture. So it's about, you're right, being intentional about the culture that you want to create in your organization. It's so important.
Yeah, I mean, Wendy, you said it so well, that alignment word. It's a big word, right? But alignment is important. And when you have that structure that we talked about, that clear structure, and people tend to think there needs to be different structures for different divisions within the organization. And we find that it really needs to be one consistent overarching structure. And then from that, you could do selection, hiring, onboarding, continuing education, that all, it really works as a great tool to see if that flavor of the month or that education program or that project aligns with your overall culture. And that's the little secret behind it.
And are you able to share that structure?
Well, the structure is really simple. You should have a common purpose. You hear a lot today about purpose. However, a lot of organizations just consider mission, vision, values as their purpose. A purpose is more about an individual message to the employee. Mm-hmm. Why am I here? Why am I working here each day? You know, so that's an important aspect of that. And coming up with that is something that you should do. When we do it, we use cross-functional work teams. We use everybody in the organization or representatives from everybody in the organization to come up with that common purpose. And then from that common purpose, you need a clear set of standards. People call them ways of working. They call them expectations. They call them standards. But don't get too many of them. You know, I've had, usually we like to say 4, 5, maybe even 3. And then what are the clear behaviors you want to see from each individual that goes along with them? And again, 2 or 3 for each expectation is clear. And then, of course, that is fueled at the bottom, that foundation is your mission, your vision, your values, especially your values. Mm-hmm. I like to say the values are aspirational, but your framework is much more observable and measurable when we try to build that. And that's some of the criteria we use when I do my culture work.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, it's similar to, I talk about a culture compass, which Perfect. I believe is the mission, vision, and values. And then to your point, so important that the team, that the people, that the employees know what that vision is, know what that purpose is, so that they can align or choose not to align and go somewhere else if it feels like a mismatch for their own purpose, right? But that's where, if you're clear about that up front when you're hiring or doing reviews, it helps with that employer alignment.
Yeah, 100%. It cannot be a poster on the wall. And that's right. What happens, right? It has to be something that you live, breathe, and talk. When we do culture work, we also make sure that how do you infuse that language through every aspect of the organization? And how do you infuse that language through every step of the life cycle of the customer and the employee? You have to make sure that that language is properly infused in your daily huddles, in your meetings, that you actually structure your meetings and your huddles to intentionally speak about it. You want your employees to say, oh my golly, is he going to talk about that again? Or is she going to talk about that again? Right. But you want that because, and then all of a sudden you will see this, the language start to change, and that's what fuels that culture.
Yes. Yes. It's those expectations, how we do things around here,
right.
Those behaviors. Yeah, I love it. Okay, well, I want to hear about this book, Chuck. I don't have to hear about it because I've read a good part of it. It's a great book. But for the listeners, tell me a little bit, what inspired you to write Rave?
Inspirationally, I had a client of mine who said, hey, Chuck, we have our leaders are about to hurt each other. She said, we have a lot of different cultures here. In fact, in their culture, there was a lot of Egyptians in their territory, in their market, in their leadership group. There were African Americans, there were Latin Americans, and they were literally at each other's throats. And this was right after the pandemic. And she said to me, she said, Chuck, we really need you to build a program that will help that. And being in the area that we're in and knowing how volatile things were, my first thought in my brain was, I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole. Mm. And then I started thinking back at my experiences at Disney and through life. And I've had some incredible mentors and incredible instruction. And I said, you know what? I really feel that I could put this together and maybe help mankind in some small way. Yes. And so I did the first program with this group, and it was amazing just to watch the smiles on their face and watch every, not just ethnic groups, but demographic people, different. I mean, when they walked out, they had their arms around each other. They were smiling. They were laughing. And then their employee engagement scores went through the roof, and their customer service scores went through the roof, and their whole culture was brighter and greater. And so that's where Rave was born, because it's really all about how do I respect and value everyone.
Mm. It's such an important message for today. You know, I mean, just really, that's what it all boils down to. I mean, we can, you know, have conversations about DEIB and all of that, but what it really boils down to is exactly that: respect and value everyone.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, even before you get to, and there's a lot of angst about DEI right now and what's going on in it. I mean, I think we have to really focus in on how do we respect one another? So that's, to me, this is a prequel to any of that. It's much more foundational. Mm-hmm. In today's day and age, where people are looking at their phones, or when you see the volatility in the discussion out there and the herd think that's out there, you know, you have to really find a way to break that. And my belief is that if we can just, if I could get to know Wendy for Wendy and Johnny for Johnny, right? And anybody as a person, then we're going to build a relationship that allows for free flow of communication. Because it's also about diversity of thought and diversity of culture. And so that's what we should be leaning into. And so to me, it's foundational. So I try to stay out of that other mix.
Yes.
And really just focus on getting to know Wendy better for Wendy.
Yes. That's so powerful. So who is the book written for? Who's the audience you had in mind when you wrote the book?
It's funny. I started writing it as a business book. And then as it evolved, it really is an individual help book. So yes, it's great for business, but it's also great for just everyday life. Because if you think about, again, back to all these communications just happening on the keyboards, you know, we really have to break out. I mean, how often did you see in your business life, you know, even in the office, people just texting person in the office next to
them. Yes.
Right. And I mean, it's crazy. And then the nature of the texts, I mean, there wasn't any pleases or thank yous or, right, or emotion. Yeah. And so emotional connection is key. And how I engage with you emotionally is important for me to learn. So the first thing for me to do that is to understand what my personality is. I mean, I am an expressive, go figure, driver, right? You know, I'd say you're probably a driver, or I think you probably have a little analytic in you. I think we all have all the different stages.
Yeah.
So first of all, what's my personality? And then I teach people how to understand and guess what other people's personalities are, just like I did for you.
Yeah.
However, I wanted the book to be not so academic. Mm-hmm. Some of these, you know, all these great, there's tons of these personality things out there, Myers-Briggs, StrengthFinders, you name them, right? There's a bunch of them. And they're great. They're all wonderful. In fact, in my book, there's a chart kind of matching matching if you went to different courses, you can match what you are and the others. However, they get really deep sometimes, mm-hmm, right? You almost have to sometimes have a psychological degree or a doctorate to understand some of these things.
Right.
And I wanted my book to be short. Simple. I mean, it's only 80 pages.
Yeah.
You could sit and read it in one reading. I wanted to have some fun in it. So hopefully you caught some of the humor.
Yes. Yes.
And I also want it to be actionable, that something that anybody could just take and go back to and react to. And so back to that simplicity method, right? That we're talking about.
Yes. And I think you've done just that. So what is your vision for organizations to take this book and use it to help employees and the business thrive?
you know, I'm again very blessed to have worked with and continue to work with every type of organization you could possibly think of, whether it be hospitals or airlines or food and beverage or you name it. I've had the honor, and I mean that, the deep honor of learning from those organizations and helping them learn also. One of the top questions I get is that, you know, how do I deal with this generation? How do I deal with that generation? Or like the story I told earlier, how do I deal with this culture? Or how do I deal with that culture? And so my hope is that they can take that, and again, back to that simplicity, and really focus in with the, hopefully starting with their leaders, but even with their individual employees. And in the book is some fun exercises and ideas of how do I, you know, engage in a conversation with somebody? How do I start that conversation? Because again, if we get the conversation started, if we open the lines of communication, again, probably the number one problem in every company when I do cultural assessments with them is lack of communication.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go figure. You know? Yeah. I text you everything, or I send you stuff at 12 midnight via an email, and go figure that you didn't read that.
Yeah.
So wow, wouldn't it be a crazy idea to actually talk to somebody face to face and ask them about them, about their family? What food do they like? You know, little questions like, you know, what culture did you come from? Or do you have a mixed culture? What food did you grow up with? I mean, you know, breaking bread's very powerful, but talking about breaking bread's pretty powerful too.
Yeah. A statement that I heard when I was getting my coaching certification is curiosity kills judgment. And that has just really stuck with me. The more curious we are about other people, the less judgmental we will be, I believe, you know, and I found that to be true. Yeah.
Yeah. It kind of builds insurance, right? So if somebody said to me now, well, Wendy did so-and-so, because I know you, I might say, it doesn't quite sound like Wendy. Let me go ask her.
Yeah. Yeah.
As opposed to then having this incredible, you know, snowball effect against you. It builds you to have some credibility built up with the other individuals.
Right. That whole communication piece. Well, tell me about that one thing that I recall in the book was the detective badge. Tell me about the detective badge.
Well, the detective badge is like a pneumatic device, really. It's just a tool. And what the detective badge is it gives you 5 points. So in the book, we talk a lot about that personality type and trying to figure that out, which you and I just talked about. So step one. So if I'm engaging you, I have that star. So it's a 5-star that you actually could draw on a piece of paper or print it out from my book. And then you'd say, okay, what do I think their personality type is? Okay, she's an expressive. So we have a lot of conversation here, right? So then next is, what else do I know about you? I know that you had a background in culture. I know that you're married. I know different things like that, right? So you want to say, okay, now I have potential questions to ask, you know, tell me about your husband. Tell me about your previous work experience. You know, you and I have some of that in common. So we can talk about that more. And then you go to the next star. So that's the 2 stars. Now you go to the third. You know, what are you trying to achieve? Right. So what am I trying to achieve in my conversation with you? Am I trying to make a friend? Am I trying to make a business relationship? Am I just trying to get to know you? Then you go to the next star. You know, what solutions can I provide to you? This is where we got to be careful, because everything isn't just about transactions. Right. Maybe it's just the solution I provide to you is I'm a good listener and you need somebody to vent to, you know, or is it advice? You know, everybody wants to jump to advice, but you need to listen first.
Right.
And then, or is there actual in a business relationship services or solutions I could provide? And then to think about it as that, it's solutions. You know, you're not trying to sell something. It's not transactional. You want to genuinely build a long-term relationship for solutions we can gain with one another. And then lastly, and this is a big one because people don't get this nowadays, is how does that person want to communicate? And when should we communicate together? So everybody assumes nowadays it's text or it's email. But if a person isn't amiable, they might want to talk. You know, if it's a driver, they might want just a quick text. But if it's an analytic, they might want a detailed email. So, but ask the question, hey, how do you like to communicate? You know, what do you think? What should we use? Do you like text? Do you like, I'm just asking the question straight out.
Right.
And then when you have those five things together and you keep them as a profile for that individual, starting with that personality type, now you have an understanding. And now when you build a relationship, it's a give and take. And now I know better how to relate to you and how to respect you and how do I value you for who you are.
I love that. And I can see that tool being useful in, like you said, personal or professional. But with the professional lens on it, it's a great manager tool, you know, get to know your team and how do they like to communicate? And I think that's, it's a great, great tool.
Thank you.
I'm curious about, as you were writing the book, any insights or aha moments for you?
I mean, lots. I mean, it's very critical when you write these things down. So first of all, journaling, people talk about journaling all the time. So this really came from life lessons. So going back and telling some of the stories I tell from Disney and from other companies I've had a chance or my life at Disney, it was really nostalgic. Mm. It was cathartic, to write those things down. But the greatest aha I had was just that it. This isn't, again, if people like to say rocket science or brain surgery. Yeah. I said that once and the guy said, but I am a rocket scientist. Okay, so guess it is. But it really is, let's laugh more at each other. Let's laugh more at ourselves. Let's just enjoy life together and living life together. So that was kind of a good cathartic approach.
I love that. I've heard that writing a book really is that cathartic process of kind of working through things and writing them down. That's great. Yeah. So there's a chapter in the book about understanding generations when building relations. Talk to me about how you see multiple generations working together.
The thing about generations that I think, and you alluded to it, but I think we could just talk about it just a quick second, is don't lump individuals based on generation. In fact, on LinkedIn, I have an article that Gen Z is getting a bad rap. And because everybody says they're this, they're that, they're the other thing, they really aren't. I mean, they're just different. In fact, I think in the article I talk about the fact that they want more life balance. They're not afraid to change jobs quicker. So therefore you have to react to them differently. However, reacting to a generation doesn't mean that they don't owe you that same respect back. We tend to think that we have to completely, a good relationship is not subservient, it's together.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And sometimes you need to be more there for them, and sometimes they need to be more there for you. But it's a give and take.
Yeah.
Don't get caught in that stereotype battle that isn't necessarily true for each individual. Find out individually what's important to those people.
Yeah. Okay. Very well said. Chuck, this has been such a great conversation. I'm so excited for people to get their hands on your book. If readers could take away just one key message or lesson from Rave, what would you want it to be?
I think the one chapter that's most simple to me, in fact, I even say in the book that I could have just wrote that chapter or give you that statement, is treat others the way you want to be treated. Mm-hmm. And we've all been taught that somewhere in our life. In some way, shape, or form. But it's that simple. Stop a moment, take a breath, in situations, and just stop and think, how would I like to be treated in that situation? And there's your answer. Mm. You know, it's amazingly simple, but it's true from the ages, right? That if you simply just treat people the way they want to be treated, you'll be doing okay.
Yes. So true. So simple, but so powerful. I'm excited. So how can people find your book?
Well, it is on Amazon. You can look up my name, Chuck Salvo, or obviously you can look at the title of the book, Rave, How to Respect and Value Everyone. Or you could go to my LinkedIn site and there's links from there. And also there's a lot of other articles about the culture work we do together and all that. But you can find me a lot of different ways. Nowadays, just Google me, you'll find me.
Well, I will put that information in the show notes so people can find you. It's been so great reconnecting with you.
All right.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye. Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Okay. I hope you enjoyed that episode. Here are my takeaways. Number one, culture isn't just about mission and vision statements. It needs a clear, intentional structure that includes a common purpose and well-defined standards that everyone can understand and embrace. Number two, the most effective organizational culture is uniquely yours. While you can learn from other companies, your culture needs to reflect your organization's specific identity and values. Number three, understanding personality types like being expressive, analytical, or amiable helps better build better relationships, but it's more important to be genuine than to perfectly mirror other styles. Number four, the detective badge tool provides a practical 5-point framework for building relationships. Number five, the golden rule still applies. Treating others the way you want to be treated remains a fundamental principle for building respectful workplace relationships. That's it. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you want to grab a copy of Rave, I've placed the Amazon link in the show notes. Hopefully, as you've listened to this episode, you've connected the dots for your own organization and have some tangible takeaways to go back and use in your own company. I hope you'll join us again next week for more intentional culture conversation. If you'd like a free culture consultation, message me on LinkedIn or email me at Wendy@culturecoachwendy.com. Talk to you next week.